Okay. So we had. I want to just review what we said at the end yesterday when we did briefly a Tosa Hukach Hoshava, and then we'll go on to Dushani and then move on. There were two explanations that Tosas offered for what Hukachosh meant. One was that the chaylev was kachush, and therefore chaylev kachush doesn't have the capacity to spread the same way. And the other approach was to say that the gdi was kachush, and therefore it did not have very much chaylev. And since it didn't have very much chaylev, therefore there was enough to be mevatel with b'shishim. So we mentioned that there were theoretically, let's go over two nafkaminas that immediately you could see internally in Tosas. What would the two nafkaminas be? We said them in Shir. What's the nafkamina? Two nafkaminas between these two answers. All right, so if, what would happen if you don't have Shishim by a Gedi Kachosh? Let's say, despite the fact that it's Kachosh, so you... You know, it's chaylev was mismayed and it's muscle was mismayed as well. So, if that were the case, so according to the first teretz, you would say it doesn't matter, even though you don't have enough to be mevatel, because it's not mefapeh. According to the second teretz, you would say it's aser. The other nafkamina would be what? Not in this case, but in a different case. Yeah. No. Well, no. You're jumping the gun there. What? Go back to the previous case, Rahuna's case. Kedisha tzla b'chaba. What would happen, Daniel? If you do have shishim in a regular animal, let's say you remove some of the chaylev. That's a good way of getting to it. You remove some of the chaylev, but not all of it. So what would you say in that case? So now at this point you have shishim. So if you say it's because, if you say the second teretz, so then you have shishim. According to the first teretz, maybe you can't tell for sure, but maybe you'd say, well, now it's mifapeya, certainly, and now you don't know what he would say with regards to bittul b'shishim. You don't know for sure. So it's in this context that I want to take a look at the two other comments of the Rishonim, and I mentioned at least one of them yesterday. I mentioned both of them. I don't know from the second one in this context that are sort of relevant to this discussion. So some of you should have the Rashba in front of you, correct? Right, so can I get a? I don't have the Rashba in front of me, but you can. You can read the Rashba.
I have the sheet of print.
Okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Sheet is fine. Okay. So who would like to read? Who would like to? That Rashba, yes, not this Rashba. Yeah. Okay, so let's read that Rashba. Can I appeal to my right hand side? Anybody here like to read? Who hasn't read yet? Aryeh, go ahead. What's that? It's the one on, it's on the paper. So even if you don't have Rashba in front of you, should have it on the sheet. What I try to do, please make it a habit, when I send Makoros to print them, particularly when there are texts in them, because I'm sending you the text generally that you're not going to have in front of you in Shir if you don't have your Svarim in front of you. I'm not going to send you a Tosis, I'm not going to send you a Riff, I'm not going to send you a Ran, but if it's a Gemara elsewhere, or even perhaps a Rambam, or Rishonim that you're not going to have in front of you, so then I usually will send it there if I remember. So you just need to bring your Gemara and the sheets to Shir. Okay, so go ahead. Well, you know, I tell you, it's either a Tau Sofer, I don't remember what the Rashba is in the printed text, but it could be, what does the word Kamush mean?
I have Kamush in this edition.
Yeah, it's Kamush in that edition, okay. The word Kamush is possible as well. Nobody knows what the word Kamush is?
It's the mole by God.
No. If you say Olav Kamushim, it means its leaves are shriveled up, dried and shriveled up. It's Kachush? Okay, so then it just means the Bar Ilan people got it wrong. But Kamush could make sense as well. I think it's a biblical Hebrew word. Either way, Kamush means, we talk about like vegetables, the Olav Kamushim means the leaves are like all dried up, shriveled. So it actually would make sense here. So you could see at least how a typist could actually confuse the two words together. I don't think they're related, linguistically, but okay. So, who kachoshava? So, ikadam farish. So that was the second Teretz in Tosfos. The Kashali. In other words, he says lechora, right? It's not mukhrach in the Gemara. Is it possible that Shmuel would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? Sure, it's possible. But in other words, might Shmuel say that not only does he think that Gdish etzlal b'chalb was aser, but Shmuel would say that even a Gdi kachush etzlal b'chalb was aser. It's possible. What is clear from the Gemara is as follows. Shmuel does not argue what the Gemara wants to be, and the way the Gemara explains things. Shmuel does not argue with Rav Huna, and Rabbi Yochanan does not argue with Rav Huna. But there's no statement that Shmuel doesn't argue with Rabbi Yochanan. But the Rashba says, lechora, just from the presentation of the sugya, the fact that they don't pit Shmuel and turn around and pit Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan against each other, lechora, it's mashma that Shmuel is also modaba, meaning that all of them agree. The makshina modaba, the makshina le Shmuel, made the Rav Huna. Go ahead. Umetartzinan. We ask from Shmuel to Huna, then we give a teret. So hadar. Right, who are we asking there? From against? From Rabbi Yochanan. So lechora. Namiyase. Okay, I mean, it's not muhrach, no, but it's not a crazy supposition. Okay, Vimisa. Right, it's an idiom. And if it's because of, if the whole issue here, Nagabo, was because of the bittul of the chaylev, because there just wasn't so much of it. It was a scrawny animal. So, huh? So the truth is, the Rashba's formulation, as you know, was really not precise. Why? Why is the Rashba's formulation not precise? Never lose sheet of this. Do not collapse sheet those together. Where does the Gemara say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda? With respect to Mendemina? Never. Well, never, ever. It does. All the Rashba had to say, again, you know what he's doing, only to say that Shmuel himself says, Mendemina b'chol yisur and shabbataris b'mashu. Shmuel never paskins like Mendemina. Shmuel never identifies Rabbi Yehuda's sheet as Mendemina. The Gemara never ties, and the Sugyan Avodah Zarah, that was one of the right, that was the Kashi the Ramban had, or was a Raya the Ramban had, right, that the Gemara presented Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish versus Rabin Shmuel, said Tanya Kavasei the X, Tanya Kavasei the Y, and nowhere did it say Kitanoi, and link it to the Machlokas HaTanoim, because the Pashtus is that Sugyan Avodah Zarah doesn't believe that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham argue about this issue. They're arguing about something else, whatever it is. Maybe they're arguing Din that's unique in Kachim, but doesn't necessarily apply B'chol HaTorah Kula. The reason why this is a problem for Shmuel, on the underlying logic, the Rashba is correct. Shmuel says, Mendemina's aser b'mashu. But Shmuel never says that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Shmuel never identifies Rabbi Yehuda Shita, nor does the Gemara identify in the context of Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shita as that Mendemina is b'mashu.
So Rabbi Yehuda was not necessarily arguing, talking about Mendemina specifically?
Universally. In other words, we point that it's possible not. And the Ramban, in effect, points that out in that Sugyan Avodah Zarah. Nowhere does the Gemara link Shmuel and Rav to Rabbi Yehuda. So when the Rashba says here that Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda sphere that the Mimim Rachosha Chadisa Bat Zerab Sofa, it's not that Shmuel holds Rabbi Yehuda, it's that Shmuel holds Mimimino Zemashu. Okay, so it's an imprecision, which for the Rishonim at a certain point they don't care anymore because Rabbi Yehuda has become identified with that Shita, even if it's just one sugya. Okay, so Imkain. After all, you rely upon Bittul Achev and it's Mendemina. Ella. Unless you're going to say that it's not that Shmuel actually paskin that it's Mutter, but Rabbi Yochanan, V'az Obey. Kamashimina, right? In other words, unless you want to say that the kash is only from Rav Huna, okay? So that's the other possibility. So that's one. So that's the problem the Rashba has with the first approach on Tosus. Then he says, "Umihu." Bigdi. Only tilas makom. Without going into that question, exactly how much? So if you say like the second approach, which is actually it's the first approach in Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam, then if the chaylev is kachosh and it's not mifapea, so then you don't, you're not relying upon shishim for bittul. The klipa itself is asura without a doubt. Why is the klipa asura? Number one, you don't have shishim in it. Number two, for Shmuel, it's mimimino anyway. So even if you did have shishim in the klipa, why is the rest of the gdi mutter? According to Shmuel, what's that? Eina mefapea, and therefore, it's not that the tam spreads out, but you can't taste in the rest of the gdi because it's too little. The tam doesn't spread beyond the klipa, and therefore, in effect, what are we saying? What we're saying is the rest of the gedi is not bichlal the suffik, right? In other words, if I have, let's say I have a pile of grain here, okay? And imagine a line in the middle of this pile of grain. And truma falls into one side of the pile. And I can tell you for sure the truma is on the left side, not, you're right, my left side, okay? And not on the right. So what's the din here? Let's say you have only 40 saw in the entire pile and one saw of truma fell in. What's the din here? What's the din of the entire pile? What's that? Correct. You cut it in half. The part that you know is not flavored with the truma, you remove. Is that because it's batel? No. Why? It's not the chlal de taroves. The chlal de taroves means it's part of the mixture. You don't know where the truma is, and therefore, if you don't have enough to be mevatel it, if it were there, so then you have to be machmir. No. If something is not the chlal de taroves, you have two pots, and truma falls into one when you're well. This is actually a funny case in the Mishnayos, but in principle, if you have two pots and truma falls into one, and you don't have enough to be mevatel it, you don't say that the other pots also too. Why? Because it's not bechal the tarobes. So that's why in this case you cut away the klipa or the or netila, whatever it is, and the rest of it remains butter. But that's why the Rashba prefers Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Now, the other consideration that I'd just like to take a look inside briefly. The other problem with the second approach in Tosas of saying that the chayav is misbatel, it's not a problem, but it makes an assumption. It makes an assumption that what? Going back to Dani, what we were talking about, that other nafkamina, what's the assumption that it leads to if you say that a gdi just doesn't have that much chayav? That assumes that if you had what? If you have shishim, what's the din? You said it before, it's mevatel it. Right, if in any particular case, even by a gedi shamein, if you have shishim keneged the chaylev, then it works to be mevatalit. So, but that's an assumption. So if you take a look in the... What? No, this is all b'di'evet. It's all b'di'evet. It's gedi shetzla'o b'chalbo, not solen gedi b'chalbo, but gedi shetzla'o b'chalbo. I assume that's obvious, but as a general rule in the language of Chazal, when you use a when you have a sentence which uses a perfect verb, a past tense, that usually implies the possibility to be the evet. When you use a participle, a present tense, that implies lachatchila. The difference, you know, the first Mishnah Chulin, the Gemara presents the obvious. Well, that actually it's a little different, but it's half the equation. Hakol shochtin ushchitasan ksheira. Right? Then the Gemara observes that there's a stira, but in those four words there's a stira. Hakol shochten implies everybody is allowed l'chatchila to do shchita. Shchita san kshera is like saying v'im shachtu, it's kosher. That implies that only b'di'evet. So that's so it's not so long b'chalbo, it's gdi shetzla'o b'chalbo. So if you look in the Ran on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, if you get used to this, you're going to be seeing a lot of Ran. The Daflam Adalad Amid Beis Bidape Arif, the Deeper Maskel Gadish Shitzlao Bechelbo. Arya, you can continue. Doing a noble effort. From Gadish Shitzlao Bechelbo, which is, you know, 2/3 of the way down, it's marked big, and then you want to start with a line in. You can start from the beginning. Gadish Shitzlao Bechelbo. Even the Chela Klaios, the kidneys are located where in the animal? In the rear end. Okay. And then what happens? Asur lecha afilu meresh unei. It's just Aramaic. I don't know why. It should have probably been udnei. Go ahead. What? Ozno. Dalet and Zayin. So resh unei. Resh udnei. So afilu. My taima. Since it's mifapeh, it goes throughout the body. Now, yesh mifarshim. So that is the position, at least explicitly articulated by the Rambam. He's not going to have his way to make a point, but the Rambam just assumes that if you have shishim, it's mifatalin. Now he says. So he says that chelem is, which is mifapea, is never misbatal. That's interesting. It's more chamer by tzli than by bishul, which is very unusual. Why? It's a metzias reason. The bekdei rahu shemisbatel. Okay, so this is a metzias claim. When you cook something in a pot, you have rotev. What happens to the flavoring of the chaylev? It is equally distributed. But if you're dealing with tzli, so there he says, not necessarily so. Right? He says it's possible you can have spots, you know, that are packed with chaylev and you'll taste. Hilkach afilu. Okay, that's enough for the moment. So again, that too has an impact upon our two Teirutzim and Tosfos. Obviously, the Ra'ah would have adopted which position? Rabbeinu Tam or the second Teirutzim and Tosfos? Rabbeinu Tam. Because you can't say Bitul B'Shishim by Chelev, because Chelev, when it's Mefapea by Tzli, it doesn't necessarily spread evenly. One never knows the paths that the Chelev will take. Whereas by Bishul, everything in effect is mifapeah by Bishul. You don't have to be chaylev to asur the entire pot. Why? Because the process of cooking in the liquid is something that distributes flavor presumably equally throughout the pot. Okay, so there are two problems with the second approach in Tosos. But again, that Teretz in Tosos, number one, assumes for sure that chaylev, when it's mifapeah, if you have shishim, it's batel. Now, what does that Tosos assume, Lagabe, the reading of the sugya in terms of the relationship of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan? What does that assume? So you could say the way the Rashba did, Shmuel argues in Rabbi Yochanan, but there's another way out of it. What's the other way out of it? How is it possible that Shmuel would agree that Chaylev is Mespato B'Shishim, and yet still not be arguing and be consistent with his own shita, you know, that the Rashba cites, Shalom? If he assumes that Chaylev and Basar have two different ta'anim, right? Now, there's the whole question of the Rashba. You see, the Rashba just assumes that Chaylev and Basar have the same ta'am. But that issue really is, you know, strange it is. I mean, that's a Metzias machlokas, as much as you can't get more Metzias than a machlokas than that. It seems to be a machlokas whether or not the ta'am of Chaylev and Basar are one or in two different ta'amim. And if they're two different to Amim, then certainly that's not the whole kasha of the Rashba falls away. Alec? I don't know who he's thinking about, but the Rambam holds that way, yes.
So what then is the chiddush of Chelev if it's
anyway? No. Can someone answer his question, please? I understand where you're coming. He wants to know if, in fact, Chelem Mefapeah is in fact Batal B'Shishim, so then you want to know why is it Asa?
No, what's the Chiddush of Chelem Mefapeah?
Should be like close. So what's the Chiddush of Chelem Mefapeah? What is the Chiddush? And what would I have thought? Yeah, you would have. Tzli normally only Asers Kedei Klipa. Not the entire thing. But Hunas Chiddush is that, the way the Gemara explains it, is that because it's Chelev, even though you only did Sli, you didn't do Bishul, it spreads out to the entire thing. So at least even, let's say if you accept Bittul, if you don't have Shishim, the entire thing is Aser. If Chelev wasn't Mifapeya and you roasted it with its Chelev, then it would only Aser Kadei Klipa.
No,
the Rambam, it's mashma from the Rambam. I don't remember how explicit it is. It's mashma from, here, 1 second. The Rambam says, where is it? Shani Chen. There's a Tezvav, Lamed Beis. Tezvav, Lamed Beis. The Rambam writes, sounds like, firstly, chelev and basar are two different tamim. The fikach im haya kachosh velo haya bo chelev klayos velo chelev kerib ela ma'at ke'echad mishishim kolef v'ochel ad shemagia lechelev. Okay? So it sounds like the second teretz in Tosfos. He assumes beferish that chelev, when there's not enough, there's very little chelev in the animal, so therefore it becomes batel. Okay. He doesn't talk. It sounds from the Rambam that even kadei klipa is not asura, and that's the logical conclusion of the second approach of Tosfos. Because you assume, see, if you assume that chelev only. That if you assume that something only asers kadei klipa, if you want to be mevatel it, you need to have shishim in the klipa kineged the iser, because the only part of the heter that's bechlal the taroves is the part that the iser could potentially pass into. Any part where it potentially could not even get to is simply not bechlal the taroves. It's not baba cheshbon. It's mutter, but it also doesn't mitzdari for shishim for whatever else to be mevatel it. Avigal. So you want to say that once you have bittul shishim, then the only chumrah of mimimino, that's very good. That's very, very good. Did none of the chumrah say that in Sadiches? That's good. It's a good teretz. He said as follows. There's a machlokas Rav and Abaye, whether or not azlina basar shma or basar taima, with respect to mimimino, defining mimimino. But as the Shach points out, and we generally accept, how can anybody say that you go baser shmo as opposed to baser taimo if you're worried about tam ki ikar? So the Shach essentially explains that the whole machlokas Rav and Abaye and Avodah Zarah is in a situation where you already have enough to be mevatel the tam. You're more than shishim ready. There's no way you're going to taste this in the heter. But still, certain dinim are not batel. Certain things isurim are not batel min bimino at all. Rabbi Huda holds everything. Even Rish Lakish of Yochanan held Tevel and Yai Nesach and a few maybe Chametz also. So bottom line is, in those situations, once you already have Bittul Atam, how do you define Min B'mino versus Min B'sheino Mino for the purposes of Mashehu? So Rava says, as Lina Basar Shema, if that's the case, then you would argue by Basar B'chelev, once you have more than Shishim in the Basar and you can't taste the Chelev, so now the only Shaila is it Min B'mino that is Asers B'mashehu? Well, you have to determine what is min b'mino. Rava says it's lina basar shma, and basar and chelev are two different shemos. Even if, even if you assume that they have the same physical tam, nonetheless, they have two different shemos, and therefore, it would be called min b'sheino mino for the Rabbi Huda, Rav and Shmuel purposes of min b'mino is mimashahu. Once you have shishim, certainly. Okay, good. Fine. Okay, the last couple of tosfosim, Shani Chelev de Mifapea. I'll take another reader. Nadav? Okay, Melo Shuman. In other words, so what's the case in Psachim?
Gravy drips onto the oven and splashes back on the
meat. Okay, and what's the problem? I'm sorry?
The gravy was cooked, or the roasted was cooked by the oven and then splashed back.
And that's a problem because?
Yeah,
it's not Sliesh.
Yeah.
it's tzli cheres or tzli tanur. So it has to be cooked directly by the fire, and therefore, because this rotev was cooked by coming in contact with the cheres, it is now asur, and when it jumps back, when it splatters back onto the Karban Pesach, so now it theoretically can asur the Karban Pesach because it's not tzliyeh. So if you were to have the tam of the rotev and the Karban Pesach, that in fact would be asur. It's one of the general difficulties that we have in terms of roasting a Karban Pesach. What was the spit made out of?
Metal.
Absolutely, positively not. You know why you can't make the spit out of metal? It's the Mishnah. Because cham miktaso cham kulo, so the inside of the spit inside the Pesach, and therefore the part from the inside of the Pesach is being roasted by the metal, the hot metal, not by the fire. That's why the Mishnah Pesachim talks about using different kinds of wooden spits. Obviously, they may be careful to make sure they catch on fire. But they used wooden spits when you have enough moisture there, and the wood itself is moist as well. As long as the wood stays. I discovered this trying to burn chametz. It's not so easy to go take some twigs and pieces of wood from your backyard and actually get them to light. I know probably as a Boy Scout leader, you can probably tell us more. You need something that's tin, very dry, in order to light. Your branch that typically falls off your tree is typically too... What are you embarrassed about? It's a very important skill. It's too moist to simply light like that. So if you have moist wood, by the same token, it's not going to catch on fire so fast. And if the Karban Pesach is sort of covering it, there's enough moisture to protect that. So the inside of the spit does not become hot in the same way. And when at the point at which it probably does become hot, the meat's already cooked. The meat's already roasted. Okay. So that's the problem there. So what do you do? Why don't we say that the rotev is mefapea in the entire gedi? So the truth is that there's another teretz that is possible also, which is a ribato b'shishim, which is not a kash if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam in the next Tosis. But okay, leaving that aside, so Tosis says that there's a difference between Shuman and Rotev. Why? Because Shuman is fat. Fat really flavors things. What is the Rotev? Rotev is meat juice. You know, meat juice doesn't quite do the same thing as fat. Schmaltz is schmaltz.
We're thinking that maybe it's because it's a water-based versus fat-based liquid.
Yes.
Non-polar.
Yes, that's what Sira is. I said it's like meat juice. Meat juice,
right.
is more water based.
Right.
Right. It's less, closer less to blood than fat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's less penetrable.
Less penetrating, and it doesn't have the same taste. It doesn't have the same power. I mean, it probably has to do with penetration, but even in some very Balabatish sense, it's Benjamin.
Does this mean that all the cases we talk about with rotev really refers to the juice?
Correct.
It's not
Shuman. The rotev in the Mishnah is talking about the liquid that it's stewing in, which is mostly liquid, mostly water-based. I mean, you may have some fat that's in there, but the rove of it is, rotev is typically the water-based.
Right, and the rotev could also be something you make yourself, like a sauce of some sort, or did it necessarily come from the animal?
It doesn't have to be. I think rotev could be anything, but I think a rotev is different than Shuman. Okay, so now Tosis has a question.
Yim Tomar,
oh boy, Shuman HaGid, it's coming back to haunt us. Shuman HaGid, apparently, the Gid Anasha has around it Shuman. Now, what's the difference between Shuman and Chaylev? Shuman is not Chaylev. That's correct. That's the difference between Shuman and Chaylev, that one is Mutter and one is Aser. Alpi Mitzius, I believe the Gemara in Chulin somewhere earlier does talk about actually a way of identifying it, but it's not so much it's a way it peels or doesn't peel or something like that.
I mean, like I've seen the chalev, it's just kind of like a mesh of it's like a surrounding envelope of fat.
So, but bottom line, in terms of the effects and the taste, chalev and shuman are assumed to be the same. Why is it chalev? It's chalev because the Torah says you burn it on the mizbeach, and since apparently this one you burn on the mizbeach, it's osur to eat. It's very interesting. It's not only osur to eat chaylev of kachim, because one might have thought that maybe it's only the chaylev of karban. It's not so. In the same sense that dam, why is dam osur to eat? What's that? Because it's thrown on the mizbeach. There's a psukim in, the dam is more explicit. Interestingly enough, when it comes to a chaya, which can never be brought as a karban, the dam is osur, but there the chaylev is mutter. And I think just as pashut svara is, the reason why chaylev chaya is mutter is because a chaya is simply not bechlal, currently brought on his back. Now, the same logic maybe should have applied to Dom. Apparently it doesn't for whatever reason. I don't know. Anyway, but fundamentally speaking, in terms of flavor class, there's no difference between Chaylev and Shuman. In fact, there is one type of thing which is halachically Shuman, but is burnt on the Mizbeach even though it's fat. And what is that? What's that? The aliyah. The aliyah is only burnt on the mizbeach by a keves, by a sheep, not by a goat, not by a cow. If you look at Par Gimel and Sefer Vayikra, there are three parashiyos of shlamim. Keves and Eiz. And the difference is that the keves doesn't have the chelef, has the aliyah, which is fat, brought on the mizbeach. But if you look in the Gemara in Chulin, the Ramban talks about it there, aliyah is not usur in a behemas chulin. It's only usur in a karban. Okay, so anyway. So bottom line is chelev and shuman are one and the same. So why should shuman hagid, if you roast, forget if you cook, the Mishnah talks about yerash and isbashu bagid. Yerash and nitzla bagid, shmoz din, gdish, loshel shepashal, nitzla bakoth valchat shmei legid, if he really holds like Rav Huna, then the shuman hagid should be mefapea bakulo, and the entire, and then it shouldn't be only kidei klipa, you should be potentially back, you should be back to whatever the din of Rav Huna's din is. Yeah, Marlon? No, it's just a place. The aliyah is the tail, I think. Right? So, you know, it's exeris akasiv. You know, there is a pattern probably to the chaylev in some sense, but strictly speaking, from a flavor perspective, it doesn't really make a difference. Okay. So, that's a very, very fundamental question. Yerach shenitzla bogid should be the same thing as gdish shetzla b'chal, because the shuman agid. Now, why is the shuman agid aser? Is it shuman or is it chaylev?
It's shuman.
It's shuman. So why is it aser?
It picks up the flavor of the agid.
Ouch. No. Why is the shuman agid aser? No, it's that part of the gid anasha. So the rule is that shuman shall get his mutur ava yisrael kidoshim heim v'nahagu bo iser. It's minag yisrael to aser the shuman agid. The Gemara has it earlier in the parak. Okay, so shuman agid min haTorah, it's not gid anasha at all. And it sounds like it's like the chumra of Benos Yisrael, of Rav Zeira, right? It's not that the chachamim who goes there, it's that hachmir al atzman. So that's Benos Yisrael hachmir al atzman. This is Yisrael kedoshim hein v'neu g'man yisr. Why are they kedoshim? Because kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. That's why Yisrael kedoshim hein. Right? Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. It is, we treat it as a derabanan, but as you can see the tension in the two approaches in Tosfos here, the question is how seriously do we take it? Yes, Chaim.
Is, in terms of just the physical proximity, is the klipa inside? I mean, in other words, is
no.
It
the
like
klipa, the klipa is the bustar outside, around the surrounding the gid.
So where's the shuman?
The shuman, I think, is directly around the gid, and then
The klipa surrounds the whole thing.
And the klipa would be the bustar that surrounds the shuman hagid with the gid inside.
So didn't Tosfos already say that when it says that you eat around the gid, that it's lavda afka the gid, but it's the whole
okay.
Klipa, so. I mean, that seems like it's just an issue of the entire thing picking up the.
I don't understand the question.
Are we afraid of
that's Tosfos Kasha. If the Shuman Hagid is Aser, and it is Aser, and Chelev, which is the same thing as Shuman, is Mfapea and the entire Yerech. So the question is why would Shmuel say that if it's Nitzla, that it's mutter, that only could they cleave us a problem because of the tlay.
And the reason why the shuman is usher is not because it's picking up the flavor.
No,
okay.
No, the shuman is usher because if before you cook or roast or do anything, if you remove the shuman of the gid, it's usher because it's there d'rabanan. It doesn't have doesn't absorb the tam of the gid just because it lives next to it. Okay. And in fact, the whole point that Tosfos is going to come to is, it's not even clear there is any tam in the gid. And you're never going to taste, even if you assume yesh b'gidin v'no sein tam, you're never going to taste gidin. The shuman is shmaltz, the gid eitz b'alma, or maybe a little more than eitz. That's the Gemara's expression later. So that's the question. So there are two teirutzim quoted in Tosfos. So go ahead, Nadav. Okay. Now, this seems to be the teretz that's accepted by most of the Rishonim. It's very hard to understand. I've only seen a cow pretty much at a distance, and certainly never seen the yerech of a cow cut open and to know exactly what the shuman hagid is. I'm a little surprised at such a claim. Why do you assume that the shuman hagid is not mefapea?
Perhaps it's like a harder form of it.
I could imagine. So is that really true? Is that why is shuman hagid? But that's what Rabbeinu Tam claims. Okay, the second approach is Varav, and they correct this, to the Rivam, okay? The Rivam Mefaresh. So does this sound like a familiar svara to you? Firstly, what is it? What is the svara? What is the svara?
The
Shuman, not Shaman. The Shuman cannot make sin the Usher. Okay, now before we talk about that, let's just very practically give me a nafgamina between these two answers. The din is the same. Yerush and Nitzel Belgid is Mutter. What's the nafgamina? Yeah?
So, Sleeve versus Bishul.
Then
just like the gid makes everything Usher.
Wait. But the Mishnah says if you don't have Shishim, Kedei Levantel the gid, both Teirutzim would agree. The gid, if you cook it and you don't have shishim k'dei levatel the gid and the shuman, right at this stage in Tosus, I think they both would agree that it asers it. When you cook it, when you do tzli, so the question is, why isn't the shuman mefapeah? So one teretz is, it isn't mefapeah. The other teretz is, it is mefapeah, but we don't care. Right? In other words, remember, they're both starting out with the same premise, that yerush v'nisbashel b'gid is aser, nitz the b'gid is mutter, except for the klipa. So the question I'm asking you is, then what is really nafkamina, Avi? No, because l'manavshach. If you say the shuman's not mefapeh, you don't need shishim. And if you say that shuman is mefapeh, but we don't care, you also don't need shishim because it can't aser more than the gid can aser. It's a very simple nafgamina. Just take the shuman of the gid out and throw it into a pot. If the gid could not flavor it, but the shuman does, maybe that's the same thing as you're saying. In other words, basically, if the gid has no capacity to flavor something different. Then, and if the Shuman itself separate, we would ignore the taste. We don't care. In other words, if you hold that it's not mifapeah, so vaday the tam is, Shuman's got lots of tam in it, so it asr the pot. But if you hold that it's simply that we're not gozer on the Shuman of the gid any more than the gid, then presumably if you took the Shuman, you put it in another pot where it could flavor things, it's just that. You know, and where the gid, there's no chance that the gid could, because the gid, even if the gid has tam, it doesn't have a lot of tam. So then the shuman would aser. Moshe?
In the second terence, if the gid, I'm assuming it's talking about tzli, right, where the gid is not operating the whole, you're right, the kolei fa ochel until you reach the gid.
Or to the shuman, I get, yeah.
In this case, until the shuman. So you're not even concerned with bittul. So there's.
But you see, according to this daya, you could still taste the shuman of the gid, but it's mutter if the gid couldn't put flavor in any, let's say in the klipa.
But he's not saying flavor, he's saying it doesn't aser the yerech because of...
It doesn't aser any more than the gid could aser. If the gid doesn't have enough flavor to aser a particular section, let's say a klipa around it, the shuman doesn't aser either, even if you could taste it. Now, this is a very Abigail? No, I think it's very clear that he's a separate shita. I think both just the linguistic format of the Tosus, the general presentation, and clearly the way the other Rishonim respond, they take it that there's another day. Are Yehuda?
First question, is it that, let's say Rabbi Yehuda held that he was Mephapeah, would you agree with
him or not? Well, he'd be forced to on some level, because in other words, remember, you have to, again, this is one of the my starting axioms. Everything starts with the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground are that a yerush shenitzla bogid, and most kidei klipas aser. Kolif ochal shemagei legid. That's a fact. So if you don't adopt Rabbi Yehuda's position, then it's not mefapeah. I mean, if you assume it is mefapeah, so then you're really left with one of two choices. You either have to say there isn't enough shuman agid to flavor the thing, or you have to say we don't care. And if you say the latter, we don't care whether there's enough shuman agid to flavor it, that must be because the shuman, we don't give it any more koach than the gid has.
Wait.
Except that, with another starting point, the assumption is the very same gid with shuman cooked together in the yarech. Right, what's the din? The very same thing that Shmuel said doesn't aser. Doesn't aser means it's all mutter, means only kidei klipas aser. The very same Shuman plus Gid. If you cook them in a pot together, what's the din? The Mishnah says. Remember Shmuel's responding to the Mishnah. And what's the din? Yerish and Isbashel Bal Gid. So it's aser if Yesh Babano Sein Tam. So Shmuel, if you say that the Shuman HaGid is Mefapea in Tzli, then when you take the very same Yerech, which Shmuel said is Mutter, and you roast it, what happens? Can you taste it throughout the thing? Yes. Yeah, it's Mefapea, Pashtus accomplishes the same thing that Bishul does. Most things are not Mefapea, and therefore if you only roast them, they don't go more than a klipa in. But Chelev, which has the quality of Mefapea, roasting it accomplishes the same thing as cooking it. It spreads throughout. So the question would be then, if you don't adopt Rabbein and Tom's position, if you say that the Shuman HaGid is Mefapea, then cooking the Gid has the same effect, the Shuman has the same effect as it would when you cook it. The Gid might not have the same effect. The Gid is not Mefapea. The Tom of the Gid is not Mefapea. So if it's just the Tom of the Gid, the very same Gid, let's assume the Yerech was so scrawny that the Gid could flavor the Yerech if you cooked it in a pot together. But if you roasted it, the Gid doesn't aser the entire Yerech. Why? It only asers Kedei Klipa, because the Tam HaGid is not Mefapea, because only Chelev is Mefapea. Right? So, but once you throw the Shuman in there, so now the Shuman is Mefapea. So if you assume... So in such a case, when you roast a yerech, you know, begido, it has the exact same effect because the shuman's mefapea is cooking it. And if the tam of shuman hagid asers, then why would Shmuel say that it's a mutter? No. But then it wouldn't. But if it's an innocuous amount of shuman, it wouldn't aser in bishul either. The Yerech, you cook it, the Mishnah says like this. You, scenario A, you have a Yerech, you cook it with its Gid inside it. And the din is, if it's no Saint Tom, it's Usser. So we're going to talk about that as exhibit A. A case where it was no Saint Tom, it's Usser, because you cooked it. Shmuel comes along and says, regarding exhibit A, that that's only if you cook it. If you roast it, it doesn't Usser the entire thing, it Ussers nothing, it Ussers Kedei Klipa, whichever it is. Okay, we agree on that? That's the Mishnah and Shmuel's Maimra. You agree? Okay. So now the question's being asked, according to Shmuel, why don't you say that it's not just clear in the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, if Shuman HaGid Asers, then why don't you say that when you roast it, the Shuman HaGid spreads out. Remember, the very same Gid plus Shuman was able to aser when you cooked it together. There was enough flavor from the two combined. You're not... My question for you. Is the Shuman aser or not in theory? Forget whether there was enough in the Gid. The Shuman is Aser. Does it Aser other things with Tom? Let's assume for the moment not like the Rivam, okay? Okay, it Asers. So when you cook the Gid with the Shuman in the pot, and the Shuman is much more flavorful, what happens? The Gid plus the Shuman flavors the entire pot. And the din is? Aser. Shmuel says that's only if you cook it. If you roast it, it doesn't Aser. So tell me, what happened? No, you can't say that. You can't say that because Tosa's question, firstly, is on the premise that you... Oh, one second. You want to say... You're not asking how Rabbein... You want to say maybe the way to... Well, is there such a thing? You want to say it's kachush. So you want to say that Shmuel's case only is... By a Gid, I'm sorry, I wasn't understanding where you're coming. We're only by a Gid that has no Shuman with it. So you want to propose a third answer.
And then you don't have to accept the Rivam is saying, and still say that it's Mefapea.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, I didn't understand where you're coming from. Okay, so you could say that Shuman and Gid Mapeah, and this was a case, there just happened to be no Shuman with the Gid. And therefore, if you cook it, then whatever time in the Gid is able to spread farther, and there might be enough to Aser, whereas if you roast it, it can only Aser a Klipa. Okay, fine, so that could have been a third Teretz. I'm a Kabel, good. I'm sorry I didn't grasp it at first. If any of you caught...
Possible?
What's that?
Is that possible?
I think it's unlikely. It's unlikely. So that's the question now. Is it likely that that's what they were dealing with? They do. So, you know, the question is whether or not... You know, they don't say... You see, but the problem is they don't... See, the Gemara doesn't assume... Nah, you can't do that. The Gemara doesn't assume that Shmuel's Yerech was Kachush. Right? They put Shmuel against Rav Huna, and the way they differentiate... And you know Rabbi Yochanan's coming down the pike, right? So Rabbi Yochanan is talking about chela v'kachosh, whatever that means. It certainly means, let's assume the animal's kachosh even, okay? So not a lot of chelev, right? And what is Rav Huna's case, gedisha tzla b'chelbo? It's a gedish shamein. And what is Shmuel's case? Is it a yerech shamein or a yerech kachosh? Well, unless you want to say that a Gemara originally thought there was a yerech shamein, and it didn't think about a distinction between... It didn't think about such a distinction, and therefore it gave the teretz of chelev versus gid, that chelev is mefapeah, but gid is not. But then the Gemara woke up, and when it had the ksira from Yochanan, and said, you can distinguish between shamein and kachosh. And you know what the teretz now we could say for Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is? For Shmuel and Rav Huna? The Rav Huna is talking about a gdi shamein, and Shmuel is talking about a yarech kachosh. But the Gemara never sounds like that, right? It sounds, the pashtus in the flow of the sugya is the shamein and shamein, and then kachosh. But so why is shamein and shamein not the same? The answer is because one shamein chelev and one shamein gid. And gid is not mefapeah. So now, whether we show him, jump him and say, yeah, but the shamein gid has shuman around it. So why isn't that mefapeah? That's the question that Tosa starts with. So if you say that, so then, what you're saying is, I think, very good, but I'm not sure it's going to work so well in the flow of the Gemara. Again, you could say when the Gemara gets to the Maskana, it would not be a rare occasion in which Rishonim will say that an unstated assumption earlier in the Sugya, you know, is later rejected, and therefore you can completely rewrite the earlier part of the Gemara. Such things happen. But if you don't say that, then you're left with the question that Tosus has. And if you don't assume that the Shuman Agid, unless you assume it's not Mefapeya, then you push into the corner of the Rivan. Okay? Avigil, comment?
Yes. Go back to my suggestion on the four. How would Rabbeinu Tam say that the Shuman Agid is not Mefapeya? Does he say that the Shuman Agid has a different consistency than other Shuman?
That's what I asked. I don't understand that. It's very... It doesn't sound like that, right? In other words, really, the Rivam is the one who says Al Bidin, it's not Mefapeah.
Right, so that's why I thought maybe the Rivam was just explaining Rabbeinu Tam, that they're not really disagreeing.
I think everybody, in other words, I'll put it to you this way. You can argue, even, I don't really think you can argue in Tosus, but even if you could argue with Tosus, it's clear, you're going to see it's clearly Machlokas or Rishonim, okay, which we'll deal with. Yes, no doubt.
For the Rivam, the din never changes the presence or absence of Shumar.
Of Shuman HaGid. It all depends upon the Gid. Now, let's read one the remainder of Tosus, because this is important. Because what emerges according to the Rivam? Well, the Ferusho,
Remind the Kaimalan, the Aim Begidim Benotin Tam, Apilun Itzbashel, Lo Oser, Kimosha Ein HaGid Oser.
Alright, so we're going to get to the Gemara of Tzadi Tesam and Beis, and the Gemara is going to say the following, that there's a Machlokas HaTanoim. Our Tana, the mission assumes that does Gid have flavor or not have flavor? The assumption is that our Gid has flavor. Now, is that now? If how do you know? Okay, I'm gonna play games with you now. How do you know that a Tana of our mission holds that the Gid itself has flavor? Maybe that's the Shuman she'll get. Okay, but let's not assume that way. Hold on, I know, but the Rivam's not working that way. So it sounds from our Mishnah that Gid has flavor. So there is another day that says that Gid have no flavor. They don't have the capacity of flavor. So if that's the case, so then you have to say, Lufeusho, that we pass on that way, the Aim Gid no Saint Tam. If you pull out a Gid Hanosha, the added Shuman, and you throw it into a pot, and you cook it, said, once you move the Gid Hanosha, it's mutter to eat. No matter how large the gid is and how little the meat is, because gidin have no tam. So therefore, if you say ein begidim no sentam, afilon is bashel lo oser kemoshena gid osena. We could say, if you don't hold like the Rivam, you always have the option of saying, you know why the town of the Mishnah holds ein begidim no sentam, but still there's a problem here, because it's shuman shel gid. But if you hold like the Rivam, so if the gid can't ask hunke flavor into a pickle to taroves, and what kind of a taroves could a gid put flavor into according to the approach we're taking now? None. If ein begidim no sentam, there is no taroves in the world that a gid can flavor, in which case shuman shel gid, even though you're not allowed to eat it, can never aser any taroves in the world. That's what the Rivam says. Then in which case the ma'ida kaima ein begidim no sentam afilin is basha lo oser kamo shein agid oser, and Ravina dasar besamuch finish gabe. Mahasa, that's the next Gemara we're going to read. Tzarech lomar. I must hold it to town of our Mishnah, but we don't pass in that way. Now, just a question. Does this Sara sound like a familiar Sara that we've seen recently? In a funny way it is, and I'm not sure that they're conceptually connected, but there's certainly a lot of superficial similarity. He says that which the gid can't aser, the shuman can't aser either. Abigail? Yeah, then the chatich anasas tevela, the dam and the shuman, right? And there's the shuman of the chaticha, which was nasis nevela, the lower part that was sitting in the brine. If the dam can't get to a certain place, then the shuman doesn't aser there either. It's very, very similar. In the same way, if the tam of the gid couldn't travel there, then the shuman can't travel there either. So even though chaylev is mifapeya, even though shuman agid is mifapeya, still because the gid, tam agid couldn't be mifapeya, we don't pay any attention to the tam of the shuman. It's almost identical to svara. It's two different contexts. One is in the context of chatir anasas tevela, which is a very broad global din, and the other is specifically as to what the nature, as to the isser of shuman hagid. Avi?
It should travel a little bit further, but it doesn't, because we treat it as if it starts from where the gid starts.
You're saying, Lemaisa, that around the gid and its shuman, according to the Rivam, you would never ask her even could they klipa.
Right.
Because the gid itself can never get past the shuman.
Right.
So that might be so, but the Gemara never says we ask. In other words, Shmuel says, Kol ifro ha shemagia l'gid. And if you assume it means that shemagia l'shuman shel gid, assuming that shuman shel gid, in fact, when is shuman shel gid asered? Is it Tanaitic? I should have checked that. I think it's Tanaitic. Where is that Gemara? Anybody know? There are a lot of important Gemaras, by the way, in the early part of Gidanasha, which we happen not to be doing. Some of them related to Gidanasha and some of them unrelated. Like my favorite topic of Gnevis Das, you should be aware, it's earlier in this parak. We just, because we're not Daf Tzadi Dalit. Where is Shuman shel gid? Is it later in the parak? I thought it's earlier. Do they have the discussion of right and left, maybe? No, it's not here. Well, it must be earlier. One second. Oh, it's on top of... It's a brisa, yeah. It's at daf taf tani alpha and aleph. The tanya shamna muta b'yisrael kedoshim nagubo iser. Okay, fine. So it is tanish. Okay, so I assume Shmuel means kof ocha. Could be taki. He doesn't hold that there's any klipa in the case of tzli because the tam hagid could not go farther in this context, right? Moshe? The chelet is mitapea. Shuman. No. You be kof ocha until you get to the Shuman Agid. No. Mefapea doesn't necessarily mean all the be'en disappears. Remember, there's an assumption that somehow, look, It's like the Shach said by the Ramah's Chumra of removing the chela from the pot by cooling and chilling it so that the fat floats. We don't say like the Bach that once you skim the fat, now there's no chela in the pot. We assume that the tam of the chela is still there. So when we say the shuman's mafeah, it means the tam of the shuman's mafeah. There may be still mamashas, some mamashas around the gid. There may be some mamashas around the gid. Okay. Yes, Alec.
We said that according to the Rambam, that the Gidon Asher has a tam never oser karamas.
Everybody agrees if a megid no same time when we pass in that way, a gid alone it never asks a ta- the gid never asks its flavor. If you have 100 gidin or 20 gidin or 50, 60 gidin, it's oser because it's a beria, but it's not. There's no tam.
So
once you can identify and remove the physical gidon asher, if you cook the gidon asher with one other anything, it's still mutter.
But
the gid itself is a beria, so unless it's broken up.
Right, even if it's not a beria, but it's still to take it out of you.
Well, it's not. I mean, I guess. I mean, okay. Fine. Now, one other point here. Obviously, on a conceptual level, clearly there's a fundamentally different way of looking at. Clearly, there are two ways of understanding that brisa of shamno shogid is mutter av Yisrael kedoshin heimenago and iser. Right. Obviously, what are the two differences? Two ways of understanding it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. One of them teaches us a standard iser from Achalas Asuras, the Rabbanon. You know, there are things that are asur to eat midaraisa, things are asur to eat midarabanan. That's Rabbi Natan's position. This is the standard position we've shown him. The Rivam is asserting is that no, that the whole takana of Shuman HaGid is sort of retains the characteristics of Gid Anashe. It's not that the Shuman HaGid is machalas asuros. It's just an offshoot of Gid in some strange way. It's obviously a very much reduced, lower level Isser. It's not a standard Isser Rabbanan. You can, you know, dress that up however you want, but fundamentally it views it almost more as a weak minhag than as a din de Rabbanan. The way most Rishonim understand, it's a standard Xerid Rabbanan Machal Sasuras, and therefore it doesn't matter the fact that the Gid is a weakling in terms of Tam, the Shuman HaGid, you know, can, you know, to the extent that it is a little stronger than the Gid, can flavor whatever it flavors and Asers whatever it Asers. Okay, now, the last... any questions about that? The last issue... and take a look at the Ran. And this is actually important when you read the Rif. Okay. Talk about Girsa for a moment. Turn back to the Rif. You might want to put a bookmark in the Rif. You know, around Daf Lamed Dalel Lamed Hey, because... You're making that trip a lot. The Rif does things in a little bit of a funny order here. And if you look at, I just want to see one piece in the Rif, three lines from the bottom of Lamed Dalet Lamed Aleph. I'll take a third reader. I got a volunteer. Somebody? Anybody? Three lines from the bottom of Lamed Dalet Lamed Aleph in the... I don't know what they... Oh, yeah. That's very nasty. Min b'she'eino mino de isura kigon basar basar b'chalav. I'm sorry, I'm still a dinosaur. I'm still a dinosaur in the Jurassic era. Uh-huh. So this is the riff is a paraphrasing explaining whatever else Rava's statement. Now, one second. Let's step back a second, actually. Let's go back to the Amar Rava. I apologize. A couple lines earlier, because actually this will prove a point that I think some have missed. The Amar Rava. Semicolon. Then finally, min demino de lo yachil. Shamnunis had the gid. Hechad lekakfeila. Okay, now, what? How was the Rif Gores in the Gemara? The point here is as follows. The Rif says, what's an example? What is Mim B'Mino the Lo Yachal L'Meka Mataima? Kigon Sham Nunis HaGid HaNasha. Now, what does the Rif assume? What does the Rif assume about the Shamnunis of the Gid HaNasha? Firstly, how does the Rif paskin about Yesh B'Gid Minos Sentam or Ein B'Gid Minos Sentam? He paskins Ein B'Gid Minos Sentam. Okay, that everybody paskins. Okay, almost everybody think paskins. Ein B'Gid Minos Sentam. So what does the Rif say? An example of Mim B'Mino Delekam L'Meka Mataima because it's Mim B'Mino. He gives Shamnunis the Gid. So the Rif says that's a case where you would require Shishim because a Kfela is not going to help you. So I have a question. What did the Rif's Gemara say? Okay, so nobody, very few understand where I'm coming from. The Rashba claims that most of the Kisfeyad have Kagon Shamnunisa Degid in them. That the Gemara gives the example of Shamnunis Hagid. Which means that the Gemara assumes that the Shamnunis Hagid Asers. So I want to know, what was the Rif's Girsa? So read the Ran for a moment. Turn to the Ran on in mine it's Lamed Daled Amud Beis Umid Amrina, where I ask you to start reading from.
Umid Amrina Demin Bimino.
Yeah. Umid Amrina Demin Bimino.
Umid Amrina Demin Bimino Dilo Matsumiko Mataima. Tigon Shamunita Gihanasha. Beinan Shishim.
Beinan Shishim. From the fact that we say that
Shmain and Apoka de Shmao shall give Lumitzer Al Mishum
Lesa de Gid. I don't know you translate. Lesa is the maybe a good translation for that. It doesn't mean is not. The influence of, it's like a side effect of the gid, something like that. Okay? So mishum le, it's the kevan no mitzar el mishum leisa the gid, the gid. The kaimalan. Atzafat himself. It really captures this the flavor, the spirit of this point is that if the gid can't, how can the shuman be more powerful element than the gid? Okay, so he says it's mashma not that way. Now, so alma the afal gav the gid ain't oser tarufto shamno mio oser. Oh, I'm sorry, one more point he makes here. I skipped the Cheven, the Kaimalan. I'm sorry, I know, I missed. The Lesa, and it's Anatza, Uch the Chasivna, as he's written already, the Ode. Lo mastaber the vina the basu sphere they de lo kehilchasa. Ella. Okay, so Tosu's second Ran's second raya is the Ravina later assumes that if you salt the yarech, with the gid inside it, so Ravina wanted to aser the entire thing, and he was told, "What are you talking about? It's only kidei klipa." Now there's no way he's saying that since we paskin ain't begin mino saint tam, the only part that could possibly be flavoring the rest of the Yerech would be Shamno Shogid. And if so, you see that Shamno Shogid asers. Now, there is a way of getting around that Raya, which is to say that how does Ravina Paskin? Yesh Begidin Mino Saint Tam. In which case, it's not necessarily Shamno Shogid which is asering, it's the Gid itself. So the Ran says, since Ravina is a Basra and we Paskin, Ein Begidin Mino Saint Tam, it's not Mistaber that Ravina, who's later, who's very late, is not holding Aliba de Hilchasad. That's not such a compelling Raya. But anyway, putting that aside, but I want to more interested in his first Raya. What's his first Raya? That the Rifam is wrong? What's the first Raya? What was the first Raya? Umid amrinan de mimbemino de lamatsi lameka mataima kagon shamnuniso de giranoshe beinan shishim shaminon. From that we see that the Shamno Shogid is asers, even though the Gid wouldn't give any flavor. From what? From the fact that what? What's the Raya again?
The Gemara says.
That the Gemara says, as an example, a Min B'Mino, the Lekam L'Meka Mataima, is Shamno Nisa the Gid. Does your Gemara say Shamno Nisa the Gid?
No.
No, it doesn't. Did the Rif's Gemara, so I know what the Rif's position is, but that's not a refutation on the Rivam. I want to know, so the Rashba says that most of the Kisveyat have it. I will tell you that none of our Kisveyat have it. That's not a Raya. Our Kisveyat are heavily Ashkenazically influenced, and it's not a shock when it happens not to have a particular Girsa to be shown record. We only have four Kisveyat here. So I want to know, what was the Rif's Girsa? See, I read the Ran, and I was scratching my head because our Gemara doesn't say that way, but the Rif does. I assume that's the way he read the Rif. But I want to know, does the Rif have that in his Gemara? You're going to have to look at the Rif again and think about it, because it will not be written on my face. I promise you that. So that I'm playing poker face here. So obviously one of the things that you see from the Rif is he assumes that Chalev and that Shuman and Basar, or at least Shaman and Yisrael, the Get and Basar, are the same palm. That's you know, one assumption. And if the Gemara says that, the Gemara clearly assume that way. I can't tell you for sure what the Rif's gear says, but if I were a betting man, it's pretty. I know which way I'd be betting. But I don't want a yes or a no. I want you to tell me. I want you to prove it.
I mean, the Rif has it, but are you saying so it's an interpretation?
How do you know whether it's the Rif's citation of the Gemara or the Rif's Perush? That's the question. The Rif has it. Has it in his commentary. In Hilchos Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, it's there. The question is he quoting the Gemara? This is like a Bahag type question. Be prepared to explain why, not just to say yes or no. Okay.
Which is that, what are the odds that the Rif would put something in and just happen to stumble on something that was a Kisveyat?
Can someone answer that question, please? Nadav? What's that?
The possibility would be that it goes.
That scribes end up copying from the Rif or under the influence of the Rif, just like has happened with the Bahag. That's very possible.
Well, I would assume that the Rashba would then say that maybe the.
The Rashba must have had it in the, most of the Kisveyat he looked at, so he just assumed. Right? Moshe? Correct. That's, I think, the Raya. He has all three cases, he has Kigons. Again, the Rashba doesn't talk about those. I somehow doubt that Kigon Kedera Shabisho Batruma Bechazar Bisho Hulan is in the Gemara. And if that's the case, it appears from the Rif that he did not have the Girsa. Now, Alpidin, he happens to agree with all those Rishonim, not because it's the Girsa in the Gemara, but just because that's what he thinks the Din is. So he, Ladina, he argues with the Rivam. In terms of Girsa, I think he has our Girsa without it. Yes, Shlomo.
So if you're saying that the reason why when the Rashba found it in other Kisayad, so it must have been an influence of...
Might have been an influence,
might have been
of,
influence of the Rif, then you have to ask yourself the question, why was that one the only one that made its way into...
Who said? So I would answer that. So I don't know, but I could suggest that because the issue may have been an issue under discussion already earlier than the Rashba, as you can see in Tosfos, that someone might have stuck it in for that reason.
And the other cases don't necessarily have
not had
the same kind of
nothing. Correct. The other ones don't breed any dissent. I said if I were a betting man, I didn't say I knew for sure. I know that, but it doesn't, you know, the language, the particular language of Kigon, Kedera, Shabisho, Batruma, Vachazar, Rabisho, Bahulin, firstly,
I'm just saying those are the rational. Not
the risk. So for starters, I'll tell you one thing. I would have expected it to have been an Aramaic. The first one is clearly a straight out Hebrew paraphrase of the Brisa. Kedera Shabisho Babasa Bisho Chalav. Okay? I doubt that was in the Gemara.
No. I'm saying when the Rashba says that these are all in there, maybe all three are all in there, he's just only quoting
one. I understand that, but I'm just looking at the Rif. I mean, I understand. I don't know what the Rashba in his Kisveyat, because clearly we don't have any of it in our Kisveyat. So anyway, so it's Mash. So the Alpidin, this is really not adding anything onto the discussion, except for I want you to be aware of the fact. This is really a more a textual question, a textual reading question. to be sensitive, I think the Rif did not have an Isgirsa, even though clearly he paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, holds like Rabbeinu Tam, does not hold like the Rivam. Okay. Are any questions about that? No? Okay. So God willing, tomorrow we will begin on the next set of Makaros, which you should already have. Okay. I'm warning you now, the next few lines in Gemara, particularly the Shach Levitarya, are very, very difficult. Now, you may look at it and just breeze through it if you're doing Bikias. I really want you to come in to have really thought hard what about A, what the problem is, that should be obvious, and B, what is the solution? Or at least, what is Rashi trying to do? I'm not really sure it's a good solution. There may be an alternate solution, but okay. How do we stop this, Moshe? N? What's that? Oh, I see. So you just... Okay.